I want to be the very best, like no one ever was.
Dun, 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 dun.
To catch them is my real test, to train them is my cause. I will travel across the land, searching far and wide.
Bum, bum, bum.
Each Pokemon to understand the power that's inside.
I mean, at this point, it appears to be mostly guts and pieces of Mr. Mime.
Gross! No, it's a lot of it is string and dirt and big mob drops.
Yep.
Feathers, lots of feathers.
Surprisingly large quantities of candy.
Chicken eggs. Inexplicably, eggs that are for chickens.
So, hey, Fox has been playing Pixelmon.
Yes, yes, I found my way onto a Pixelmon server.
Yep, and I guess for clarity's sake, to start up, that voice you're hearing there, that's Fox.
Yeah, don't make a big deal out of it.
Well, the thing is, this is getting posted on my blog, so, you know, anyone turning in, you can do the background research, you can go to the back issues. It's Talon, he, him, that's Fox, she, her, and we're moving on.
Oh, you were trying to smooth that into the intro, but I gracelessly didn't see it.
No, I totally wasn't.
Oh, cool. Hey, I'm blameless.
Don't get me wrong. You were absolutely graceless. Just an absolute mud wrestling elephant of a beast. But nothing to do with that. Okay. Yeah, so Fox picked up Pixelmon after watching Ben Ulmer, I believe.
Twitch.tv/Benjaneering.
Yep. Link in the blog. Let me just clarify that that is Fox's value of my boy. I do not endorse the boyness at any point. Like, he's not my boy.
He's a good boy.
I have no doubt whatsoever that Ben Ulmer is a real good boy. He's a member of the Learning Ready Run crew. I'm you know, very fond of him, but I hesitate to attach the badge of your boyness.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's not like you're on the server.
Exactly.
This is a streamer I liked watching who started a Pixelmon server, and I was like, okay, fine, I won't miss out on this.
And a large number of times I've watched him streaming Pokemon, and I've just gone, well, this idea sucks. I'm not here for Nuzlocke.
You're not a Nuzlocke player, no. And you're not a randomizer player.
No.
These are two very fundamental changes to the game.
Yeah, it's not my thing. I'm just not a Nuzlocke person. Anyway.
And I'm not either. I just really like that.
Yeah.
He's a lot of fun.
Now, one of the things about this that I did think was super interesting is that Pixelmon is a Minecraft mod that adds Pokemon. Not Minecraft versions of Pokemon or hey, we came up with 255 Poketo Monstaro, but like actually just like models of Pokemon from some game or other. Just slap them right in your Minecraft.
Interestingly, I thought the models would be lifted, but they are in fact community made. Every goddamn one of them.
Well, wow.
Yeah. I assume this is part of how they've not gotten themselves the Indeed. Because, yeah, the Pokemon are all custom modeled, custom textured, and voiced. Which is one of my least favorite parts of it, I'll be honest, because they've gone with the anime style. Everyone says their name voicing rather than the game style. Like, just sounds like a noise an animal would make voicing.
Insert Kizaron style Jinx noise.
Talon, by that do you mean da, 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 da,
da, da, da. Well, that waveform will be easy to find. Anyway, yeah, so it is a Pokemon game in Minecraft, and one of the things I love about Minecraft is that it is this boundless font of creativity. And what someone has done is effectively said, what if we put the components of a Pokemon world in the hands of people shaping a Minecraft world? So mods for this game get to slap down gyms, and there is a degree of auto-generation and like weird, ridiculous buildings that you get as a byproduct of this, and all sorts of like automatic structures to make a Pokemon world in Minecraft.
Yes. If without the Minecraft, it would just be bad Pokemon. Because, astonishingly, the people who've been making this game for multiple decades have gotten it pretty refined. And, like, throwing together a fan MMO version of that is a little janky.
Yeah.
But it really does, the full creativity available in Minecraft really does add something to it. And that's what makes it worth being around for.
And I mean, like, not to get off onto tangents about how open world Pokemon is a terrible idea, only wanted by just the worst kind of Tim Buckley-ass nerds.
Look, there's nothing wrong with wanting it.
You can want it all you want. Just want it in your own head. Quietly. Away from me.
Talon, we just want a full 3D Pokemon game with a fully realized open world and all 900 to 1,000 Pokemon in there in full HD. And also it should be fully multiplayer and online. What's so hard about that? Also, anyway. I should be able to build a custom player house, and there should be raids. But I should just keep saying this, and you should fade me out on the track.
Point is, the question of why isn't this game designed for three-year-olds that can't be bricked, not as complex as Final Fantasy XIV, and twice as horny, is a question that will somehow have to go unanswered by the luminaries of talking on a fucking forum somewhere.
They did make Zero Aura. Zero Aura is not there for people who don't like furries.
In this case, you effectively have, like, you have two janky bits jammed together. You have Minecraft on peaceful, effectively. Like, there aren't
mobs. No hostile mobs.
Yep. And you have, this is like 1.12. So for anyone who's not familiar with your Minecraft update, specifically, that eliminates almost everything cool in the ocean, trading with villagers, bees, and the updated nether. And that also means you kind of basically just have the multicolored concrete and wool. Like, that's...
Yeah, yeah.
That's... Yeah.
Gotten that far. The...
You can't also waterlog things.
Yeah, that was a big frustration for me, because I... We'll get into this later, but let's say I chose a semi-aquatic location for my build, and this was the source of many disappointments.
Yeah.
But we don't need to talk about that extensively, because what we're really here to talk about is my favorite thing that Bengineering specifically has done on their Pokemon server, which is the idea of having the community build towns.
Yeah. So
instead of just being the sprawling, randomly generated Minecraft region that it is, people have gone out into the world and found locations to make the central cities from a Pokemon region, with the ultimate goal of, like, building each one of them up around a theme and building routes between them, and having all the players pick sort of a starting town.
Yeah.
And instead of having an AI gym leader and gym pros for players to face and whatnot, instead you get the residents of that town who are willing to duel you for a gym badge style of thing.
That's pretty sick.
It is pretty sick.
That is like one of the actual things about the idea of an MMO Pokemon that looks like a pretty cool idea. You just have to remember that this means that there are some people whose part of this game is to be the thankless thing 7-year-olds throw their rocks at.
Well, no, see, that's the problem, because it means everything is PvP. I love Pokemon. I have played it since the first generation. I have never played a PvP match, except against my nephew when he begged me to play a PvP match. And, like, we're talking, he was like 6.
Yeah.
And he brought a legendary, because that's what kids do.
Yep. I, on the other hand, have been, I guess I would say, tertiarily part of the Pokemon competitive scene. I've never been to an in-person tournament, because I'm Australian.
There weren't a lot of those.
Yeah, no, they weren't.
And when they were hard to get to.
Yeah, but thanks to falling in with a circle of particular friends during that period, I got very interested in how Pokemon PvP works. And that means that I've basically been part of Pokemon player versus player, the same way that your dad is a fan of whatever sport you associate with dads. It's something where I just have as a low level thing going on in the background. And since YouTube allowed for the explosion of people actually like recording and sharing matches and like a conversation about metagames and balances has come up, I've been a much more active follower on that front. What this means is that I don't play much Pokemon PvP, though I did back in the day. digitally. Ironically, back when Pokemon PvP had to be done with an IRC client, I did it a lot. And then when they made it so the actual games themselves could be used for it, I lost all interest, and I don't know why. I think I just got old. Anyway, but that meant that I had this means that when it comes to looking at the PvE game, I have enough knowledge of what actual PvP looks like to recognize the way that the PvE game is often not that, particularly gym leaders. Like, I wrote about this last year, where I just pointed out that, look, the gym leaders clearly aren't actually trying to win. They're trying to give you a bit of a challenge, and then they want to give you a badge, because it's a gym.
Yeah.
It's a place you go to train.
They're part of an organized sport with a deliberate built-in learning curve to it. They're aiming at an audience.
Yeah, and that audience includes 7-year-old bug catcher who thinks that shorts are cool. What this means is that I have the kind of this weird sort of game design interest in this whole experience with Pixelmon, even though I'm not playing. I'm not coming along and joining in.
Talon has a detached secondary experience with Pokemon competitive, and then a detached tertiary experience with Pixelmon.
Exactly.
Because I'm carrying on about it.
And occasionally going, hey, Talon, 4 years ago in Minecraft, how did you build this thing?
It's come up once or twice. They are, there's an update in the works targeting 1.15.
Ooh.
Which is going to be a significant improvement, I believe. Though still, you're not just going to be able to use villages to get through the early game, which is a bummer because, like, Pokemon centers and marts. You still won't be able to use villages to, like, power through the early game, because the town spawn, which is like a Pokemon center and a mart and a gym, replaces a village. So I think there still won't be villages, which is kind of frustrating. But.
And also, 1.15 was the Buzzy Bees update, which gives you honey blocks.
Nothing bad about that.
How are you going to get bees?
Oh, they'll be dropped by, like, combis and stuff.
Ah, fair enough. Okay.
Well, the honey blocks will. This is an unfortunate side of Pixelmon I don't like, which is they take the very standard JRPG tactic of you kill things and take their proct to get resources, which sucks. Like, it's a dubious thing when it's, you know, kill a beast in a JRPG to get its fur. It's a fucking shit-awful thing when it's kill a Wigglytuff and you get raw rabbit and rabbit hide. That's
wow.
Disgusting.
Wow.
Damn, yeah, I wish they
wow.
didn't do that.
Fuck you, Pixelmon.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the bad side of it. It's super disappointing to have them be like, no, you are fucking murdering Pokemon. That's how this works.
But
I get to ignore that.
And I absolutely will. Moving on from that, though, what we have here is essentially a practice in public, collaborative world building without a authoritative canon. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm sure Ulma can come in and go, no, your character's not canon anymore. And everyone will be like, oh, okay, Ben, decanonize this person and, like, you know, lightning bolts or whatever. But he's not going to do that.
He's not the Pope. The Plaid Pope! Oh God, he probably is.
He probably is the Plaid Pope.
I bet they call him that.
Yep, I bet you could convince them to do that. But instead, what we're looking at here is an exercise in world building around utility themes. Because when we talk about Dungeons and Dragons world building, often the root of that is, where are the hot elves? And how do I get to play one?
Everywhere.
Like,
the hot elves are inside you all along.
Okay, that's a boring answer, but I get it. The point is that, like, world building is almost always about, here are player options, things for players to be, players to acquire, or players to fight, and how do we arrange them in a world that's interesting and coherent and makes some sense?
I mean, to be clear, it's not, like, we're talking about story in terms of evocative things about different places, not like a contiguous canon and a history of this world, and it was made by a creator god Pokemon and blah blah blah, all that crap.
Yeah, sure.
And not necessarily a logical path between these towns.
No. But it the so to describe the practice of what has actually been happening there, You have towns that are given a theme and a name and a kind of a concept kind of thing. Like, you know, we're going to do this kind of stuff in this location.
Yeah, yeah. Like a visual theme and a concept for how it came to be, but not like a detailed canon.
Yeah, sure. And this is
what's for cops.
Yeah, sure. And this is world building. And like, this,
oh, yeah.
This
definitely world literal world building.
This is the thing that I find interesting and want to talk about.
Absolutely.
So, with that in mind, a brief tour of the Pixelmon server.
Okay, okay. So, our spawn is Flannel Town.
God.
I mean, there's going to be an ongoing theme with these names. You'll pick it up as we go.
Ah, dear. Yes, yes.
So this is actual server spawn. This determines sort of the center of the world.
Yeah.
And the eventual boundaries, because it's not a... It's not a limitless world. That would be a bit counterproductive. Especially on a server.
These are your spawn chunks.
Yeah. So this place grew up very organically at first and is currently sort of getting a facelift.
Cool.
Because it's also sort of the home location of some very particular builders.
Oh no. Those guys.
It's just people, no worries, it's just people who have like a list of 4 or 5 mods that they're really eager to see get added to the server. Because, you know, otherwise I can't build the, you know, a curved archway or a...
Oh no!
A sloping roof. Or...
Those guys!
I do kind of like what they bring. It's just very daunting for newer players.
Yeah, there's a reason I'm not on this server. Anyway, and Flannel Town's mechanical theme.
Well, their theme is essentially basic.
Uh-huh.
Like, you'd lean into normal types, definitely, but there's no, like, strict type requirements for any of the town. Because the whole goal of this system is motivated mechanically as well. Because the idea is that they want to be able to run tournaments, but they don't want it to just be everybody brings the best stuff from the current competitive meta. So the idea is to create an environment where you have a theme team based on where town you're repping for.
As it so happens, there is in fact a Smogon category for that kind of play called monotype.
Well, it's much more strict, right? Like, it is literally you pick a type theme and you have to stick to it.
Every Pokemon in your team has to have that type and can't ever not have that type.
Right.
So, for example, Gyarados loses flying type when it goes Mega, which means you can't have a Mega Gyarados on a flying-type team.
Interesting. Sure. Yeah, so, like, we're not trying to create something as strict as that. The idea is just to limit your options a bit and encourage creativity and just to get to see teams that you don't see in full competitive.
Yeah. So Flannel Town's theme being so basic, it is, like, you know, it's your Route 1s.
It is, I mean, it's probably more like the common spawns for every route. Like, it can be all the way up till end game, but it's the stuff that you're going to see all the time. It's the, like, yeah, everyone knows what this is. This is not a special rare thing or whatever.
So here's a thought. Would a Snorlax fit?
Would it? It's definitely normal.
Because in Generation 1 Pokemon, one of the things about Snorlax was everyone had 2 Snorlaxes. Because the game only ever presented you with 2 available Snorlaxes in the world, and you had to get rid of them to finish the game, which meant that for the most part, everyone had them, and you could tell that they were special, so very few people just got rid of them or ran away from them. and it just occurs to me, like, you know, Snorlax has that basic feel to me, even though it was, in Generation 1, one of the S-tier Pokemon.
Technically unique, but... by making it a unique that was utterly predictable, also one of the most common appearances.
Yeah, same thing with Mewtwo.
Well, yeah, and while I would say Mewtwo probably doesn't get to be on this team.
Yeah.
I think a Snorlax would be a great candidate for, like, this is your basic bitch model of Pokemon.
One of the things that you can have access to if you do go with this kind of, like, basic route kind of stuff is, again, to look to the monotype meta. The normal type has access to a whole bunch of different tools, but that don't feel like they necessarily fit here. Particularly, the example that springs to mind is Chansey. Like, I don't, like, Chansey might fit. Not sure.
Mm.
Porygon 2, however, definitely doesn't. That's more of a techno thing.
It's, yeah.
But on the other hand, you do have access to Diggersby and Staraptor. And Lopunny. And those are all quite strong.
Though, like, once again, you do not need to limit yourself to normal types.
Yeah, it's true, but, like, definitely, like, just thinking about it now, Lopunny does feel like it has that early route value to it, even though it doesn't, does it?
It's not really an early route Pokemon.
Yeah, I don't know. I know, surprisingly, I know very little about Lopunny.
It's not a late game Mon either. But, like, I would put it in there just because, like, it's a bunny.
Mm.
It's an easy thing to explain. It's not a tough concept. It's not a weird, rare, bizarre thing. Like, you know, I'd probably also say, like, why not have a Yamper? It's just a fucking dog.
Yep.
it's very, you know, you'd find it in a backyard kind of Pokemon. And I feel like that's the sort of thing that goes well in Flannel.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, other community members might disagree with me about that a bit. Flannel's a hard one to pin down.
Yeah, it does sound like it. So if we move...
Oh, I think they do have a clause where, like, all the starters fit. In Flannel, because
that's good because
it's the starter town. It's
that,
20s.
That makes some sense as well because, like, the nature, like, don't be wrong, that suddenly expands your options immensely.
It does, yes.
And actually makes me think that this is the town I would least likely to go like to go to a tournament because, oh no, everyone has a Blaziken and everyone has a Rillaboom. Everyone's got a Rillaboom.
Yeah, I mean, cool. Starters are rarely ever bad. I said rarely.
I think technically you are right, but it depends on where you put the goalpost for bad.
Yeah, okay. We definitely have different definitions of bad.
Look, we're just saying that Sobble stays crying throughout most of its
life.
Well,
that's your fault for evolving Sobble. No one should do that. Have you seen how weird and ugly it gets?
Okay, so that's Flannel Town. Next up, moving on from Flannel Town. Is it Flannel Town? Have I named it wrong?
It's Flannel Town.
Oh, cool. Tell me of your land and your peoples.
Well, you know what? We don't have a lot of routes in place yet, but we do have Route 1 in place, and it is between Flannel Town and Poncho Town.
Which
is a great name.
Listing just the name, Poncho Town, I'm going to assume we have a certain degree of Wild West Mexican style of aesthetic. I'm going to guess Mudsdale shows up a lot.
It probably should, yeah.
Look,
picture a Badlands biome.
Mm-hmm.
This is an extended biome add-on, but picture the biome you would picture when someone says Badlands.
The Badlands is an existing biome in Minecraft.
Is it?
Yeah. It's a type of mesa. It's not all of them.
Oh. Well, this doesn't look like anything in normal Minecraft.
But, so. Okay.
It has quicksand.
Well, yes. Moving on.
And there's a snake in my boot. there's also a giant-ass ravine running through the middle of it. And residents may or may not have, like, burrowed down there and made a nether portal. And, like, as a result, become extremely haunted by demons from the nether.
That's rad as fuck.
Yeah. I mean, haunted cowboys is never not fun, right?
That's really cool. Yeah, really, really cool.
This is your Weird West, you know, haunted ranch town kind of thing.
Mm.
They have mill tanks, but they also have demons.
Yeah. Houndour.
Yeah, good, absolutely.
Good dogs.
Good dog.
Slightly tainted by slight hellness.
Look, all dogs are good dogs, whether or not they have demon horns.
But yeah, I'm getting a strong combination of ground, dark, and fire in this area.
That would be an excellent core to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Also, anything that looks like a horse, anything that looks like a cow.
This would make me suspect that if I was going to go to this area, I would be looking for every single thing I could find which had something like water absorb.
If you were tasteless enough to like a Vullaby, or, God, what's the Mandibuzz?
Mm-hmm.
Then
that's
probably where you'd get one of those.
Yeah.
Have some vulture in your desert.
I don't necessarily want to encourage what they did with Mandibuzz and Vullaby.
I'm so fucking bitter about the gender lock nonsense.
Yeah, that's absolute pish.
Every time they do that.
So, you know, this is a place that if you wanted to bring out some competitive staples, the first one to spring to mind is Incineroar! which both gets to be a luchador, very appropriate.
Oh, God, it is a luchador, isn't it? I forgot all about that.
And it's a wrestling heel, and it's fire and dark. So, yeah, yeah, if you want to if you want to be the person running around with a VGC staple Incineroar, this is where you do it.
But we're not designing teams based on that urge, because the whole point is to not do that. Though, since you bring up luchadors, you could also have Howlucha.
Howlucha. And Ludicolo.
You could make a Masked Wrestlers team.
Ludicolo, though. I said you want someone with Water Absorb.
Ben was trying to think of this is kind of a tangent, but Ben was trying to think of Pokemon that go here. And I was sitting at my screen. I only get to watch these after the fact because I'm not awake when they're live. I'm sitting at my screen yelling, Ludicolo, it's your favorite Pokemon. It's literally wearing a poncho.
Yeah. So, yeah, that sounds like a really cool... Like, I could see lots of ways to make a cool team that has a vibe without necessarily all lining up mechanically. That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So if we leave Poncho Town, where would you recommend we head next?
Well, we kind of hit the coast at that point.
Okay, well, what do we find if we traipse along the coast?
So what did we just end on? Sorry.
You said, I think the next logical step would be my hometown. So, but I cut you off on that sentence, so do it again.
Yeah, but did you delete the whole sentence?
Yes.
Or I didn't catch
it. I'm going to have to edit around it anyway, so yes.
Okay, I think actually that means the next logical step is my hometown, which is Bandana Bay.
I assume that this is a place for hoodies and hooligans.
This is a pirate town. Well, no, actually, it's kind of like a beach bum town more than anything. it's actually built of three different villages, which are all connected by bridges to a couple of islands now.
Oh, cool.
So there's sort of one side of the town where they thought they wanted to do, like, classy builds, like, sort of Venetian, exquisitely engineered bridges and wealthy pirate privateers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side of town is people like me who are like, I want to build, like, something with a straw roof and wicker supports in the walls, and there's a campfire down on the beach, and yeah.
So you've basically made a place that is all flavors of Florida.
Gross. I don't like that at all.
One part Jimmy Buffett album, the other part the middle class people who actually buy Jimmy Buffett albums.
I actually live slightly north of the main area because I wanted a place of my own where no one's buildings were going to necessarily threaten my view. Which I have called Akubra Island.
You f***ing NIMBY.
Look, I'm a very opinionated builder. I like building communal areas, but also I need a place that's just mine.
She is right, by the way. I've built a Minecraft server with this lady. Anyway.
It's fine. That's how it's supposed to work. Anyway, so any flavor of thing you find at the beach or at sea or on a ship is what you're looking at here.
All right. So my first thought is Delmise.
Yeah, that's a natural.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You can have your Delmise and your Sandygast and, like, just any of the sea Pokemon. Lapras spawn in my backyard all the time. They're ultra rare and I've caught, like, 7.
Tentacruels, boring, but whatever.
All damn fishy things. Various birdie things, as long as they're sort of water birds.
Given the propensity of people to build by the ocean, I'm going to assume that they're going to be multiple places by the ocean, and there's going to be multiple places where it's like, oh, and also all the water stuff.
Not really.
Huh.
I mean, a lot of places have some coast, but where they're like... Long story short, they turned up the spawn villages to the maximum, so there's a bajillion villages out on the ocean, and Ben was very clear, like, we are not doing Hoenn, there's only one town on the ocean, and that's it.
Oh, okay, I mean, like, coastal, not just everything in the actual ocean.
Yeah, yeah, but most of them are pretty inland, actually.
Weird.
We are the ocean one.
Well,
that's all there is.
World-building note, the majority of settlements that grow large tend to be at the ocean.
This is Pokemon, though.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm going to assume if I was going there, I would probably start looking at stuff that works well with Sharpedo.
Sharpedo is a great pick. Yep. Uh-huh.
I think that given that you're dealing with water types in general in that space, you're not going to hurt for anything with bulk. Like, bulky water type in competitive is literally
a archetype for a reason.
Yeah, like, and we you can rank the bulky water types by generation and tier. There is nowhere you can go that you don't have access to a bulky water type. My favorite bulky water type fits very well with your beachy area, which is to say, Quagsire.
Oh, you think Quagsire is a beach type Pokemon?
I think Quagsire goes wherever Quagsire wants.
Well, I'm not trying to limit Quagsire's freedom, but I feel like naturally Quagsire would appear in like swamps.
Yeah, Quagsire is definitely a swampy poke.
It's a swampy boy.
But the point is that if you have a place where people sit around listening to chill tunes on the beach.
Oh, damn. Quagsire would be a Jimmy Buffett fan.
Quagsire would be sitting there swaying along.
Like, funny you should mention bulky water types. I just evolved myself a Milotic the other day.
The bulkiest.
Him pretty. I'm strong.
Oh, Lord. Milotic, I don't know what yours has necessarily, but one of the default abilities Milotic can have is Marvel Scale, which is as long as it's taken a status condition on it, it has 50% higher defense, which is to say, if it's ever paralyzed.
Oh, no.
Oh no, I'm slow.
What will I do? I think mine has a negative speed nature as well, which is just... I think it's plus special defense minus speed, which is pretty much as good as it gets on a Milotic.
The sturdiest of snakes.
He's lovely. Also, you can ride... Oh, did I mention you could ride Pokemon in Pixelmon? That is a definite...
That's pretty definite sweet.
Definite plus. Yes, I found out you can ride a Zangoose in like my opening 2 or 3 levels on Zoro, and I was like, hell yeah! Her name is Horse and she is huge! Ha ha!
I do think that if I was going to look into this space for building a team, I would just naturally try to avoid. Here is my lineup of 6 bulky boys.
Yeah, I mean, you want to do something unusual.
Yeah, in which case, yeah, really, Sharpedo and Jellicent are the two that spring to mind. Don't get me wrong, Jellicent is bulky as hell, but Jellicent is also status inflicty. Get out of here, manipulative, kind of controlling, rather than necessarily just, I'm going to take whatever hit you throw at me, and I am going to quake through it. Failing that, I'm always going to go back to Quagsire.
You could also definitely get away with things which are, like, sun or weather themed.
Mm-hmm.
To some degree or another. Yeah, he's thinking about it. and I was going to say, if you happen to have a fondness for nose pass. Which I only in like the last few years of being a Pokemon fan realized was themed around a compass.
Oh!
It's not really obvious. It's a giant nose made of rock. The theming is not immediate.
But also it's an Easter Island statue.
Yeah.
And you're on an island area.
Like Sailor Age of Adventure kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah. So that's another one that sort of demonstrates the breadth of what you could think about for this kind of Pokemon.
Makes sense.
Also, I don't know if I mentioned Sandygast before, but
yeah, you did.
I did. Okay.
Yeah, it's a good vibe.
What's that fucking evolved into?
Palossand.
That's the thing.
Gross.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of flexibility to be had in Bandana, and that's the way we like it. What does it go? Something about pirates, because pirates is free.
Also, Obstagoon. Surely.
No. You'll find out where Obstagoon belongs later on.
All right.
Also, you can definitely get away with Machop, because sailors in Pokemon love Machop for some reason.
Mm.
I don't know why.
Is Glossopod too creepy?
Glossopod. It's a water rock type. Have it. It's a deep sea isopod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has...
Sorry, it's not water rock, it's bug.
Water bug, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely think it would be in. I mean, I'm not the boss. But
so that's Bandana Bay.
I think so. Also, one other thing about Bandana Bay is the first tournament was had on the server a couple of weeks ago, and it turns out everyone in Bandana Bay is, like, chilled out and conflict-averse, and nobody wanted to actually...
So, if you want to join the server...
There's a free gym leader rank going in Bandana Bay if you happen to...
If you want to...
be a boss with bulky water types.
If you want to pick up the HBIC badge immediately, yeah.
Yeah.
Go to Bandana Bay, your fortune awaits. Oh, Starmie. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
You have water is the second most common type in Pokemon.
Yeah, we got a lot of choices.
If water gets to be part of your theme, there is nothing you can't do to the point where it's honestly kind of boring. It's the only Pokemon type I know of that is combined with literally everything.
I try to steer away from things that have dual typing with a less appropriate type. Like, I mean, you could have ice water types if you wanted, but I don't think of them as really belonging there, except for the Lapras that are constantly spawning in my fucking backyard.
Doesn't that relate Lapras and Dewgong, which are both very chill, beachy Pokemon?
Dewgong?
It's all beautiful and flowing and fluid.
It's an Aurora seal from the frozen north. It does not hang out at warm beaches.
Nah.
Bandana feels like a very Mediterranean, temperate ocean kind of thing.
It feels like Queensland.
There's a reason I called my home Akubra Island.
Yeah, yep, yep. Complete with being populated by thieves.
Rude. Anyway. Don't steal anything in Minecraft.
And in Minecraft.
But if they had subtitle anime in Minecraft.
Fade. All right, so Bandana Bay. Moving on.
In Bandana Bay, we have ships in our harbor, which have now been equipped with teleporters to their matching ships in other cities, which is the coolest.
Oh, that's definitely something worth using command blocks for.
So, you can catch a fast ferry to Vinyl City.
I think I see where Obstagoon shows up.
Oh, you worked it out! Yeah, so Vinyl City is like, what's the name? God, I'm blanking on it. There's a town in Sword Shield, which is where Team Yell originated. And it is, you know, it's fucking tenement housing estuary England, but if it was constantly listening to punk at all times.
Yeah, 80s punk, by the way. Not
your sissy 90s pop punk.
This is not your Blink 182s. This is this is your London calling.
Yeah, yeah.
And London won't call back.
London is drowning, Talon. It can't call back.
So, right, yeah, that makes sense. So this is going to be your things like, I've forgotten the name of it. It's the electric type with a punk hairdo. It's your Bowie-like.
Oh, Toxtricity. Yeah,
Toxtricity.
That's cool.
It's going to be a lot of urban-style Pokemon. I'm going to assume this is also places where you could get away with having a Yampa.
Yeah, look, anything that you'd pull out of your garbage and chase away with a broom probably gets to go here. That's a lot of Gen 8 stuff, I'm not going to lie, because Gen 8 has a very endearing theme of what if Pokemon were garbage.
I see, here's the thing. I was about to say, what animals infest garbage in England? Oh, foxes.
Yep.
Oh, I'm not going to say Vulpix is something you find in your garbage and chase out with a broom, because I have friends and I value them.
No, Vulpix is lovely. Nickit, on the other hand, it was made for Gen 8, so there would be a trash fox.
Yeah, so basically
themed Vinyl, around stealing things.
So Vinyl City is basically Gen 8's junk drawer.
Oh, Cramorant, there's another thing you could use in Bandana Bay.
Yep.
I'll be right back, I'm choking on fish. Such garbage babies.
Okay.
Yeah, so Vinyl City, poison types, electric types, dark type, fugs of all generation, anything themed around music, because they also do have the sort of punk rock theme going on.
Cool. Exploud.
Yeah, you could absolutely main an Exploud in Vinyl City.
Just absolute monster of a thing. So yeah, look for the ability Soundproof. That'll probably give you an idea of Pokemon that fit the theme. Alright then.
And you know, definitely Trubbish is
obviously
Trubbish lining the streets. what am I gonna say? Probably Poochyena too, to be honest. Like, I feel like they also go in Bandana Bay, because anything that gets mained by every Team Aqua member surely has to go in Pirate Town.
Well, I mean, you know, one of the things with all the Pokemon that evoke dogs is that dogs are fundamentally companion animals that are, like, hanging around humans.
That's true.
So you can justify
it. They go everywhere.
And that's the thing, like, just because of how all dogs seem, it's like, why would there be a Mightyena in there? Because it's a ship's dog. Oh, no, actually, that just makes sense. Totally fine. Whereas in Vinyl City, it's like, well, why is there Furfru and Yamper and Mightyena and Houndour? Because they're dogs!
They're dogs. This is a city. Yeah, it's definitely the most, like, city-ish city.
Yeah.
So anything that sort of has that urban, modern feeling, rather than the sort of pastoral, idyllic wildness feeling that most of Gen 1, for example, comes with. With the exception of, you know, the one that's just a pile of goo.
Yeah.
And the one that's a Pokeball.
Yeah.
Setting that aside. Okay. Now we're totally out of places that I know the roots. Wait, no, there's one more. Because I, at one point, did some touch-ups on the route out of Vinyl City, so I know it leads to Mask Marsh.
Aha! That's
Mask with a Q, you plebeian.
Okay, so when I heard this name, the first thought I had was Louisiana Bayou. That this is big, palatial southern estates found in these grim, overhanging lines of deep, dank forest with flickering ghost lights prancing about. But nonetheless, red carpets and big banquets.
That is a cool image. It's not exactly Mask Marsh. Because Mask Marsh is just, what if you got to be a witch? they're very strong on their theme. They have, in fact, built an umbrella of cobwebs in the sky. So they are constantly shrouded in darkness. It's kind of a bummer they don't get rained on anymore. But, you know, you're one or the other. But they are, like, just any Pokemon that you can imagine a witch using, goes in Mask. So, your spoopy psychics, your ghosts,
your bats,
your poison types, as long as they're sort of pretty poison types rather than gross rubbish poison types.
Bat, spider, frog.
Bat, spiders, frogs. Fairies that are spooky rather than pretty.
Yes.
Well, pretty and spooky.
Oh, man. Imagine if they had a type that already existed that was good for spooky folklore things.
I know.
That didn't have the fairy type trumping all over it.
Wild.
Hmm.
That horrible goblin from Gen 8 that I don't like.
The ones it's a Boggart.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Or a Spriggan, possibly.
Yeah. Well, it does a Gigantamax, so yes, it would be a Spriggan, wouldn't it? That one's reasonably easy to grasp and handle on.
Mr. Rhyme. Wouldn't you love to run Mr. Rhyme?
No,
he's gross.
Yep. With this,
what a creep.
With this in specific, I also think that I would be like, I would just. Problem here is that this opens the door to Fairy, Dark, and Ghost, and I like Dark and Ghost a lot. I think they're very interesting. I think that's some really cool upside downside kind of design. They're all reasonably balanced, beautiful children, and deserve all the love and glory they should possibly get. And then there's the Fairy type.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to stand the fairy type. The only fairies I like are the ones who weren't fairies and then became fairies when it got added in later.
And bear in mind, I do love a fairy type. I think that Azumarill is great.
Yeah.
I have so little patience for the way the fairy type was applied mechanically and in world-building terms, where it seems overwhelmingly fairy type means it's pink!
But not Aldino! I'm so mad!
I love...
You did my boy dirty, my fat little pink boy with the pixel mamas.
I do love how dumb the justification is for fairy type on a whole bunch of things, like Klefki and the flower crown. Comfy. Klefki and Comfy. They are haunted objects.
Pretty much.
Why are they not ghost types? The answer is, well, they're nice.
We had to make some fairies, and these are cute and unthreatening.
Yeah, and we wanted to merchandise the shit out of the fairy type, because we broke the game with the dragon type, and the solution wasn't to fix the dragons, it was to introduce a whole new foil that also shat on the existing...
I still love Morwile. Morwile could probably go in Mask.
Yes. Morwile's
it's, like,
deceitful.
Technically a fairy, but also, like, a bitey little monster.
Yeah, it's got that deceitful vibe. It's a Venus flytrap. There's a lot of stuff. That's great. That's really great. I don't mind that.
You could main your boy Sableye.
Yep.
I know you're a Sableye fan.
I like Sableye. Sableye...
I don't know how viable it is, but...
Sableye is a favorite Pokemon of a friend of mine who has no name. And that, you know, it's a really, really rad poke. It's not my boy. It's a friend's boy.
Oh, it was your boy back in the day.
There was a time where I tried to make Sableye work, but the problem is that the notion of it doesn't have any weaknesses and it's got two immunities was really cool, but it also couldn't take a hit worth crap. So, like, if your whole thing is like, I am resistant and tough to things, maybe back that up with a hit point pull.
Well, I have good news. They fixed the no weaknesses part.
Boo.
Just play back the fairy rat again. But yeah, so I think actually that Mask was whence the heroic Gligar of the first tournament arc came. Gliscar, not Gliscor, who was rocking an Eviolite and just very, very nearly pulled out the whole match.
Yeah. You've got to be a so bold good. Hero to run a Gligar with an Eviolite instead of a Gliscor with a black sludge.
I love it. Yeah.
This is also where you get like Duskull and Dustmark. Well, you would get Dusclops.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is also real good with an Eviolite. And the thing is, this area, like, one of the things with, like, the water type area of Montana Bay is, like, you get to do everything, because there's always a water type, and there's always a water type that resists whatever foil you brought up for the other water types. So, like, water type teams tend to be very rounded, but also tend to be very bulky, because just, like, water in general has a bigger hit point pool and a bigger defense stat. When it comes to masks, the stuff that's going to fit your theme is stuff that tends towards being tricksy and clever, which also means Game Freak doesn't tend to be nice to them, and they all tend to be kind of fragile.
They're a bit cautious about techie power. Like, they, one might say, are not cautious enough with just straightforward power a lot of the time. But
yeah,
stuff that's based on tricks, they're sort of like, ooh, what if this gets out of hand? And they preemptively nerf it a lot of the time.
Yeah, we've got to be careful. Though, Mask sounds like it'd be a great place for a Marshadow.
Yes, absolutely.
I do love me the murder teddy.
Yeah.
All right then. Moving on from masks.
I mean, don't get me wrong, there was a no legends rule in most of the tournaments, but you could still have one and be very happy about it.
All right. Moving on from masks.
Also, Quagsire would hang out in the marsh. Just saying.
Do that again without me talking over the start of that.
Also, Quagsire would hang out in the marsh. Just saying.
All right then. Moving on. From masks.
All right, now we are totally in the wilds and I don't know what route leads to where, so I'm just gonna go down a list. Let's visit Fleecy Fields. I love its name, it's so cute. It's also disgustingly cute in-game. It is in a, what the extended biome mod calls a Lavender Fields biome, and it's like the flower forest, but nothing but lavender. It's cloying.
How twee.
It is. They got kind of screwed on theme though, because Fleecy Fields is the place where you basically do little cup teams.
Close. Little cup by Smogon rules. Little cup is level 5 and under.
Okay. You don't have to underlevel.
And that's the specific detail I was going to bring up. What you have instead here is what more recently got played, known as NFE, or Not Fully Evolved.
Yeah.
And NFE is a super interesting format. Like, your bulky wall in that is Munchlax. Don't get me wrong. In Little Cup...
Go, little baby.
Yeah, in Little Cup, your bulky wall is also Munchlax. But it's a totally different space, because back in Little Cup, it's like Munchlax has got 30 hit points. It is... unkillable. How does one deal with that?
Right, because also your stats are just so freaking low.
Yep.
And they haven't really had the chance to... A minor difference in base stats will not be felt very heavily at low levels.
Except hit points, because hit points is multiplied by a different value.
Well, yeah, okay. Sure. Yeah.
Your hit points start bigger and get bigger than all your other stats. And if your primary defense is having a great big hit point pool, you are a truck. So, on the other hand, if you're going with Not Fully Evolved form, you've got a really interesting team core there that you could present with a Munchlax holding an Eviolite, but also it's like level 50. That's interesting.
Yeah, the problem is that no one else has to follow Not Fully Evolved rules when they fight people from Fleecy Field, so it's kind of just unfair.
I would argue... not that I'm involved in this, but I would suggest allowing Fleecy Fields to use to break the item clause. Let them equip the whole team with Eviolites.
I think they might have done that, actually.
Well, that's good.
I would just I think they should expand their theme to also just include anything that's upsettingly cute
or
fluffy themed. Yeah, they should definitely have all the single form Pikachu clones. That's a given.
You can't just call them that. They don't like it when you just call them that.
No, they literally have a marketing term for that group of Pokemon. I can't remember what it's called, but they've done promotions based around that group of characters and identified them by the...
This is like the Sorters.
It's not the Sorters, yeah. That's a reference. You'll know it if you've watched Talon's other material.
If you read the lore.
They are good friends.
Anyway.
And you know, things that are just, you know, stupid cute as a theme, like Comfy, you brought up before, which is a literal flower crown. How could it not belong? And, you know, maybe not Dubwool, because it's not nearly as cute as Wooloo, but...
I think that inherently, this is a risky area to try and make a competitive team, because again, not everyone is following the same rules as you, but there are some pokes that do exist that have your... that this can work with, which is the Eviolite holders of Not Fully Evolved. So that's
Shadow Tag Why Not Monster.
Yep. Why Not had to get banned from Ubers. It counts.
That's why it's funny.
But specifically the thought is that you would want to look at you would want to look at Dusclops, Chansey, and Mudslax. Don't get me wrong, the irony of this is that this means that the area of tiny babies Pokemon is going to be the area that is getting just dump trucks.
Oh god, Dusclops is a mid-form.
I
forgot about that.
And Dusclops gets Trick Room, so it can make all of your slow babies faster. It gets Nightshade, so it can just club someone with its level instead of its hit points. It gets Disable, and it gets Encore, and it gets Taunt. Dusclops is a house in 2v2.
Ah, yes, that we haven't touched upon that yet, have we? But they're not exactly got doubles working in Pixelmon, so...
Yes, it's all...
It's just buggy, unfortunately.
It's all 1v1, best of six.
Sorry,
team of six.
Well, team of six, pick three.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That keeps games from dragging on forever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're going to have a rough time on that one. Anyway.
Yeah.
Moving on from Fleecy Fields.
Maybe Aldino would have a purpose if it was allowed on Fleecy Fields team specifically.
The thing I would think that Fleecy
Fields... Oh, God, that's the other thing that's really rough on Fleecy. Because you... Another of the ways Pixelmon is still slightly jank is that you can't have both Megas and Dynamax in the same fight. Whoever does this first gets to pick which one is being used. So
oh, no!
Yeah. They're looking to sort out what kind of rules they want to employ. And one of the things that was brought up was if you say it's only Megas, no Dynamax, then Fleecy is even worse off.
Yeah.
Because what Prevo gets a Mega? There's not even a Mega Pikachu at last fucking check. If they were going to do it for anyone, they would have done it for Pikachu.
No, if they're going to do it for anyone, they do it for
Charmander. Well, Charizard is already fully evolved. They can't do it for Charizard.
All right, then. Yeah.
Okay. From Fleecy Fields, let us go to Haberdashingham.
So I'm going to guess posh toffs, snooty people, lots of stained glass window plates, lots of dark oak, lots of multi-story buildings.
The toffiest of toffs. And by that I mean like they're literally themed after a medieval fantasy kingdom.
Okay, so you got medieval fantasy. Oh no! Oh no!
Yeah, fairies are going to be here, but also like knights and dragons.
Not even fairies. The thing that I was thinking about was like Aegislash.
Yes, Aegislash can go here, definitely.
Aegislash is a beast. Aegislash got banned from its OU generation because it was just too hard to fight. You basically had to just mind meld your opponent. And people were like, but that's...
Oh, right, because it's all about the mode switching.
Yes.
Yep, okay. Well, I mean, you know, you main it if you're bold enough.
Yeah, and this is also sad because it is a stonkingly cool Pokemon.
It is really cool.
In fact, it's so cool that Doublade with an Eviolite is perfectly viable.
Well, that's not because it's cool. That's because it's
stonkingly strong. Powerful. Yeah, good point.
I think you're confusing that just a little bit.
You also get Corviknight. I would assume you could possibly swing Honchkrow.
That's not really.
You don't get a Thieves Guild in a
God,
medieval
no,
area.
I get a Mafioso vibe from Honchkrow. That's clearly what it's up to.
Well, I mean, it is also my point is it's a thief and it's a bird and it's a bad omen. Yeah, fair enough.
Wouldn't buy it, but well, I'm not the boss of fucking Pixelmon Plaid meta.
Mischievous.
Yeah, I think it fits better in Mask. that doesn't have a dashing hem. But
yeah, but like, probably get away with it. It's not exclusive.
There's definitely overlap between witch and fairy tale.
Especially because, like, if you start going exclusive, Bandana Bay eats all the water types.
No water for anyone else. They're all ours. We stole them.
Anyway, yeah. So, like, this is going to be the place where you're going to get your pot.
We stole all your bulky water types. What are you going to use them for? Nothing. She's having a party. Hands you a drink in a coconut.
This is about as Florida as you get. We stole things for a party.
Fine. Hands you a prawn cocktail. There, see, we're not in Florida anymore.
Because you called it a prawn cocktail.
Exactly.
All right.
Go to my grave doing so.
Okay. Well, moving on from haberdashery.
No other ideas? Well, I mean, some birds and a sword.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't help but bring up one of the most powerful things that you could build a team around.
Let's think more, though. In fact, this is the sort of first place we're coming into steel as a recurring theme.
Like, but ironically, very few steel types.
We did mention Corvus Squire.
Yep.
And I would throw in Escavalier.
Yep, okay.
Is an easy get. I also think all the Musketeers go here, frankly, but...
legendaries.
You know, no legends in Theme League. Theme League! Yeah, that's what I'm going to call it. So that's kind of a moot point. Which is a shame, because I'd love to see, like, a little Keldeo doing the magic sword thing. It's so cute.
Yeah, that would definitely be a very cool thing, but... Like, I'm trying to think about what other steel types necessarily are gonna, like, really.
Yeah, there's probably not that many. I feel like you could probably definitely have Bishop,
yeah.
Ooh, dark, but fits in haberdashingham. That's cool.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of chess piece for anyone curious.
Yeah, yeah.
And that thing's real strong. I think is just a sturdy, strong, scary thing that uses knockoff to punch people in half.
I'm also going to forward Poltergeist.
Yeah.
I mean,
who follows me on Twitter?
It's a fucking T-set. It's very. Ultimately, there's going to be quite a few Gen 8s that fit here as well because it's very British, and Gen 8 is very British. But a lot of Gen 8 is garbage British, not posh British. Mm-hmm. So.
You're going to get Hatterene.
Whoa! Sorry, that reminds me of something else from Bandana Bay, because Perzerker is a Viking.
I like...
go on the ocean.
I like that. But also you could get it here. You should definitely have Perzerkers here as well.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Non-exclusive.
All the Tapus are legendary.
Gallade for sure goes here, and probably Gardevoir as well, let's be honest.
I'm sorry, what was the first one here?
Oh, there's a... They made a worse form that you could have instead of Gardevoir.
Why would you give Gardevoir, an already amazing Pokemon, an extra secondary evolution? It's not Charizard.
I don't know, man. I think they thought it wasn't butch enough.
Now, I think
despite it would be... literally having the Japanese name Sir Knight.
I would also point out that a small bummer here is that I don't think, by the sounds of it, that this area has a place for Komo-o, which is a shame, because
Komo-o is super cool.
Komo-o is really cool.
Yeah.
And, like, on a mechanical level, definitely would fit.
I think it's generally felt that you can put any dragon here, but you're right. Komo-o does not, like, it's just so non-white.
Komo-o is extremely not white.
Does not come from your fucking monarchy. likewise, Dragapult would be a weird lift to put in haberdashingham, yeah. Dragon or not.
By comparison, Flapple.
Yes, I believe the apple babies have shown up here.
Haunted apples are a thing in this kind of story. Right. Oh, and of course...
Just also, like, food and desserts kind of go with the... Like, they have a certain banquet hall aesthetic that just works.
Yeah.
Oh, Chandelure, I think.
And of course...
It's one of those points of crossover between Mask and haberdashingham as
go
well.
For it again, so I don't say of course over you again.
And Chandelure, I think, yeah, is also one of those crossover points between Mask and haberdashingham.
And if you're not bored as hell of dealing with it for 20 years, Skarmory.
Yeah, Skarru would do fine here, I think.
All right, then. Now, can we move on from the land of posh toffs and castles?
Yes, all right.
The irony is that if I was on this server, I would probably be building something big and stupid and castly.
You do like big castles.
I do like building castles.
Well, fine. How you want some weird science?
That would be Hazmatterhorn!
Hazmatterhorn Labs.
The laboratory is on the top of a cliff where lightning crashes and strikes, making sure that it's alive! Alive!
It is alive. Alive, yes.
Yeah, okay, so...
It was they who were wrong.
Yeah, they... Then they will see. So
actually, I don't know how weird the science up here gets, to be honest, because they don't want to overlap too much with Poncho, which is already dug too deep and too greedily.
That's going down. This is going up.
Oh, I see. So while Poncho has burrowed into the nether, Hazmatterhorn is reaching up into the end and into ultra space.
Yes, and yes. Touching the face of God.
Yes, well, I mean...
Yeah.
God needed a bit of a slap.
Woo!
Oh, yeah, like that's a fucking spicy new take.
No, it's a funny one.
I mean, here you have any science Pokemon.
Yeah, this is all your power plant stuff, your Electrode, your, not your Zapdos, but your Electivire, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Your Magnetons.
Mm-hmm. Do you get,
Voltorbs.
What's the new cat monkey electric thing that looks like an actual character? Like,
oh, the
latest
the Lucario. Horny one, Zoroark.
Okay, yeah, I almost called it. I my problem is I mix up that and Zoroark in my head.
Yeah, they're pretty similar names.
Yeah, so
Zoroark goes in mask for sure.
Yeah, the electric horny furry boy, which you know that's not a problem. You know, not judging anyone.
I was just talking about Gardevoir before.
Yeah. Point is that this space is fine for all the electric types, but also, I would like to suggest you also have some room for some weird Pokemon, some Pokemon that do odd stuff. Like maybe if the Ultra Beasts are available, they're probably here.
They're definitely not available. They have legendary tier stats, so
yeah, fair enough.
They don't go in theme league.
Porygon. Porygon Z.
Obvious choice. Ditto.
Yep.
Your
Grimer
your
and
Muk. Good precedent for Muk and a variety of other poison Pokemon that are on the sciencey side rather than the witchy side, because they're very like poison types are very divided between those two things, you know.
I would assume Silvally.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I don't know what Silvally's stats are like. It's not a legend, is it?
It's Mew at home.
Oh, that's right. It's got totally even stats, but
they're all 95s.
Yeah, okay.
Oh. Which is really quite good. Like when you think about it,
yeah,
that's a base
not a bad
total.
Poke.
That's a base total of like 550. That's up there near the pseudo legendaries. But
yeah, well, the thing is, these games rarely reward generalists.
No. Hence, Mew at home.
So Silvally's probably totally fair then.
Yep, probably.
It is definitely a science beast.
Yep. And, you know, Genesect. Genesect is not allowed.
Genesect is definitely, I know that one.
Yeah. yeah, so... Beyond that, I, like, Oh, Esper!
I don't know, it's just a straight-up psychic. I don't think it's really mad science.
Look at Esper and tell me that that cat hasn't seen some shit.
Isn't that more of a, like, a haunted witch thing? I don't know. Maybe Esper.
I could see either.
You'd have to ask the people who come from there, I guess, because they know the vibe the best. I do remember, well, it's not a useful tournament thing, but Castform, definitely, because Castform was also developed in a lab, as I recall.
Hmm. And, I would also suggest, even though there's no reason for it to belong here, but Electros. Electros is weird. It is a weird Pokemon.
It is a weird Pokemon.
It is one of the only Pokemon that has no weaknesses and nothing but resistances. And yet, it's not very tournament viable. What the hell?
It's pure electric, right?
It's pure electric yeah. And it has Levitate. So it's immune to ground and that's...
I can't really think of a better place for it to go. It might go here.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's also...
Like, it's an eel. You feel like it should be in the water, but it's not a water type, so...
No. But, like, it's also... Do? But, you know, it comes from a Timpole, which is a fish. So, like, I can understand someone going, oh, it's
No, different thing.
Temple?
No, Temple's the Prevo for Palpitoad, isn't it?
I know what you mean,
it's like a little white minnow looking thing.
You're right, Temple is the one that turns into Palpitoad.
Why can't I remember the name of it? It's a three form one. It's Electric, Electros, and the first
Tynamo.
Tynamo, yeah, that's right.
I think that's a reasonable mistake to make.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad about that.
You wouldn't know that that evolved into that looking at the two of them.
Broadly speaking, though, like, you could probably justify almost anything that has to also hold a weird rock.
Has to or just wants to?
I'm not going to try and take it off the Esper.
Stop bringing Espers into the lab.
Weirdly, I thought Mimikyu because in Sun Shield. Sorry, Sun Shield. Yeah.
Sun Shield.
Generation 7.5. in Sun Moon, there was a thing where you went to an abandoned lab where which was being, you know, harassed by a Mimikyu, but like, yeah, doesn't belong there.
Oh. I remember that one. I remember Rotom.
Oh god, yeah, Rotom.
Rotom goes here.
That
is,
yeah, except legendary stats. Anyway,
it does have legendary stats. Okay. Well,
moving on.
Rotom. There was something else I was going to say. What was I going to say? I was going to say I feel like you can make a case for several fire types too. Like, I feel like Magma would be pretty at home helping you, like, heat a test tube or something.
Yeah, the horrible anteater.
Oh, yeah, Heatmaw. Because it doesn't look like, you know, it's not like Houndoom, which is like, I am a demon dog and I breathe fire. It's like, I am an anteater who someone has installed some fucking pipes and an engine on.
Yeah.
It's weird. It probably goes there.
Moving on from Has Matterhorn, I believe we only have three places left.
Yeah. And next we're going to Khaki Canopy.
Ha. Huh.
A bit of a sore point for me, because I wish they'd called it Cargo Canopy.
Yeah, Khaki comes across as a military coloring.
Well, I think they mean khaki, isn't it? Like, they call a style of pants khakis?
Yeah, they call them khakis.
You don't really get here, but...
Yeah. No, we call them cargos.
And cargos would be better, because they're the style with all the pockets. And
yeah.
You'd want those if you were going adventuring with your biplane and your machete!
I was going to say that Khaki Canopy sounds like a military base in the top of a tree.
Yeah.
Which sounds like it owns too much for the military to be allowed to have it, so fuck them.
Well, that... Good point. Good news. You are envisioning what Khaki Canopy is. And
oh.
It doesn't belong to the military.
Hey, cool. Like,
it is a treetop jungle, you know, adventure zone.
Does it have biplanes in trees?
I don't think so, but it should. If I lived there, I would try and build a crashed biplane. Yes, that would be my project.
I didn't say crashed.
No, definitely crashed. It's gonna be crashed. You know, hanging from the tree and half wrecked and
Yeah. But yeah. I would like be building a landing strip on top of the trees.
That doesn't sound like a good idea.
It's Pokemon. It's full of bad ideas.
That's like a worse idea than normal.
Anyway, so. Alright, so your Age of Adventure sorts. Okay.
They're very fond of grass. But basically anything that's like jungly, wild animal type. They love monkeys. All the monkeys belong here.
Tropius,
hell yes.
Tropius is just kind of bad. So I feel reluctant to admit recommend it, but Tropius is like basically a plant dinosaur, and I feel that that's got the right adventure vibe.
Yeah,
all the dinosaurs: Rampardos, Tyrantrum, Omanyte, Omastar, like the whole crew. Like if you're talking about Age of Adventure, we discovered a valley.
Yeah, you're kind of right. Hold that thought for the next town, but okay. I think there's definitely a case to be made that there's some overlap.
Alright, fair enough.
Especially for the ones that feel more like rock based, which is most of them.
Yeah, almost all the fossils are rock types.
But also, flying types are very good here because it's all treetop shit. So, like, if you can fly, perfect place for you.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no! Khaki was where the hero Gligar came from.
Ah, okay.
Because this is also a fine place to be a bat, or a bat scorpion, or a bat scorpion that has ground typing. I just for the listener's benefit, Talon gave me a look, and I can only describe it as delight.
Glasgow gets to go where it wants.
Point is, you could bring your Wargo, sorry, your Braviary, but also like your Whimsicott.
Yeah.
And oh fuck, what's the other one I'm thinking? Your Leavanny's and your what's the Mantis one from Alola? Why can't I remember it? Fomantis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
Scytha loves Kirky Canopy.
I would say that if you want to go back into this and like if you're thinking of like I'll show up and get into a competitive team, Whimsicott is real strong. Whimsicott is great to build a team around, but, and I don't know if Pixelmon has got this change implemented, since Gen 8, Dark types ignore Prankster.
A what?
Which
That's
is
crap.
Which is it's a rude shock when it happens.
Why? That doesn't seem fair.
Because Prankster is so good, they needed to give something some counterplay to it. And Whimsicott is almost entirely why.
It just seems like a weird choice. That's
all. Well, they know all the tricks.
I don't, I mean, even if I was going to play competitive, I don't know if I really fit any of the location themes. I do kind of have a theme emerging from my favorite set, but it's more like team 50% male, things you thought were too pretty to be boys.
Team aesthetic.
I have a Milotic and a Serperia and an Odino and a Gardevoir. And a Whimsicott, now that you mention it. Because I have always liked Whimsicott, even before it was a fairy.
Right. Well, Khaki Canopy, Adventure and Goggles.
Yeah. Bring grass and bogs and wild animals and things that climb trees and things that fly. And there's a lot you can do with Khaki.
Which I think means that we have two left.
Yeah. So next we got Snowshoe Step. And this is why I asked you to put a thumb on that point with all the fossils. Because Snowshoe Step's theme is history.
Yeah.
So they're the ones, you know, doing the archaeology and researching the prehistoric mammals and resurrecting the fossils.
So, just a boring world-building note? That's really weird.
That's weird?
Yeah, The three biggest locations for fossils in the world are all...
Oh, why it would be frosty.
They're all deserts, because deserts are real easy to dig in.
It's true.
And
it's true.
Permafrost is real hard to dig in. Like, I'm not saying, bad world building, no biscuit. Like, you can nonsense up an excuse if you want to. It's fine.
No, I see your point. But we'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say these creatures were probably frozen in icebergs or something like that.
Yeah, okay, that gives you a perfectly good place to start from. That's cool, that is. Mammoswine.
Like, yeah, it's definitely the first thing you think of, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and Mammoswine's a cool poke to build a team around because it's such a big, tough, dump truck beast, and one of its best attacking moves it has is Icicle Shard, which is a priority move. So you go through three moves of its fighting, or it's getting set up, or it's recovering, or it's pulling everything back from the brink of being hurt, and you're like, okay, fine, I think I've got a handle on it, as long as it doesn't outspeed me, and then it just goes, crack! competitive Mammoswine is fun. I think that that's very fun. I like the idea of this ponderous brick that nonetheless can sucker punch you.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's cool.
What else you got? Oh, Bombasnow! Debbie!
Yeah, there's a lot of... I mean, all your ice types are basically coming home to have a party here.
Which sucks, because ice type sucks, yeah, but ice type has a bunch of cool Pokemon.
Doesn't matter, yeah, you love them.
Yeah.
Debbie.
It's got Sfeel.
Sfeel is so cute.
Sfeel is needlessly cute.
This is where your Dewgong goes.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, it's a step... The nature of it being all fossily and ancient and cold, like, you got a whole bunch of stuff there that works really well. Pokemon has gone to the ice monster well a couple of times. There's some Leviathan-y Pokemon. There's Crab Bominable. Who goes, you know what we need is a boxing Yeti crab.
Actually, you know what? That is an ice type that does fit in Bad Dad, now that you mention it. Because that is a beach-dwelling ice type for sure. It's weird, but that's how it is.
It's a boxer crab.
It comes from Alola, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, and it's based on a real crab that isn't really fuzzy.
But not an ice type.
Near. Near.
In fact, I think putting crabs on ice is pretty much how you kill crabs.
Also, I understand that crab is not a true crab.
Ah! It just looks like a crab.
Because of carcinization. Which is not a Pokemon passive ability for some reason.
Ah! would you make that do?
Turn every move into a crab. Anyway.
How would that work?
All right.
Explain how it work.
So are we done with Sans Two Steps?
I think we are. There's probably a lot more to say about it, but I don't really know it, unfortunately, because I'm not familiar with it.
What I would throw in as well is you've also got options of Lopunny, Cinderace, and I guess Diggersby. Snowshoe. It's a type of rabbit.
Oh, you're punning.
Not even punning. Like, you know, rabbits do... There are rabbits that are really good at surviving in the cold because they've got great big feet.
I think it's a type of hair, technically.
Yes.
But, I mean, you know, if we're going to talk about big feet, I don't think Lopunny qualifies.
You know, I don't know how about Lopunny's feet. If you've got Lopunny feet pictures, maybe you could send them to Fox so that she could give them a proper inspection.
They just end in a tiny, delicate point.
That's all right. Foxley.
I know that off the top of my head because I like Lopunny. I don't have a Lopunny foot collection, god damn it.
That's a shame. They're lucky.
Gross. They probably do drop rabbit's feet in Pixelmon, which, once again, gross. Take that out.
Anyway.
Well, we got in the weeds a bit, didn't we?
Oh, lordy. Yes. Ahem. Which means I believe we're moving on to the last location, which is Tooktown.
Tooktown. Every time I see that fucking word, I read it as Toke.
Tukok?
It's just funnier when it's Toke, that's all.
Yep.
That's not a word you see very often in Australia, just for the record.
But if I did see the word Toke, I would assume that this is probably a port town, probably has a mine or an industrial mill or a fishing industry of some variety. This is a tough, hard-working flannel and waders kind of town.
Yes, in fact, you're getting there. It's not as cold as you might expect. But it's got
Why else are you wearing a toque?
It's got a very industrial town.
Yeah.
Vibe. They decided that they wanted to do like forging and smelting and like manufacturing. So they're basically a steelworks town.
Which means this is by default where you're going to find a steelix.
Absolutely.
Default.
Yes.
Default.
So this is like also steel, but steel overlapping with like fire and some water. And anything that has like a workmanly theme, like
Builder
is an easy pick for this place. It's literally a road worker.
Can you learn Scald? Well.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Now that you mention it.
So,
I mean, it's harder to find the right water types for this place, but like, it's definitely like a critical part of the manufacturing process.
Yeah. And the reason I got that impression is because only Canadians call it a toque. And if you want to go for a town that is defined by the image of a dude in a toque, it's like Newfoundland fishing area, or it's Alberta's steel mills. Like, you know, that's such a clear image in my mind.
You don't know much of Gen 8, do you? I was going to say Colossal.
I know Colossal.
You do, okay.
Oh, I know Colossal.
So
I watch Wolfie VGC. I know Colossal.
Have you seen a Duraludon?
Yes.
They also go here, I think.
Yeah, they're a steel dragon, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a great big skyscraper dump truck of a creature.
I wonder if Khaki Canopy might be the place for Komo, just to do a slight think back to earlier in the discussion.
Yeah.
It does look like it could go in a jungle.
And it does also have that vibe of like, from a forgotten valley.
Yeah, exactly.
And the forgotten valley is all the pseudo-legendary dragon types after Garchomp. Well, we don't want to make another one that's as good as Garchomp. That might overshadow Garchomp.
I wonder if Tyranitar goes in Poncho.
Tyranitar, yes, because it's basically a haunted mountain.
You're gonna find a dragon eating cowboys.
Yeah.
That's probably the one you'd find.
Yeah, and it's not a dragon, it's
no,
a dinosaur.
It's not a dragon, but
it was Tyranitar represents a beautiful possible alternative future we could have had where the pseudo-legendary of each generation was not just
dragon.
Another fucking dragon.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir, man. I'm not a dragon fan. I think my favorite dragon is Altaria?
I have a friend who is a dragon who is going to be very cross at me for being so rude to her.
Oh, no, Flygon. I really like Flygon. Flygon goes in Khaki Canopy for sure.
Yes.
Hmm.
You remember my line about how I said... Sorry, do you remember my line about how I said if you can learn Scald, you belong here? I would just like to point out that that
includes... Fucking Scald aside from Milotic. That's the only one.
That also includes Slowbro. And Slowking.
That would be a weird match.
I want you to envision a Slowking wearing a Foreman vest.
I wonder if Watchog goes here. Fucking hideous little cop. I am a big fan of early root normal mons, and Watchog ruined that for me in a big way.
Blastoise
would definitely.
Blastoise is a very industrial looking water type Pokemon.
I like that.
It is admittedly like the boundaries of your options. There aren't tons of others.
I could maybe see a Clawitzer.
Yeah, Clawitzer.
It's definitely more oceany than Blastoise is, but it's still because it's got that steel typing, doesn't it?
So,
all right. Well, I guess I didn't have anything interesting to add. Phalanx, there you go. Phalanx could. It looks like it'd be at home in a forge.
Just rewind that a little bit. So you start with just like bring up Phalanx.
Phalanx, there we go. Phalanx looks like it'd be at home in a forge.
Yep, certainly would respond well to a Foreman.
Yeah, yeah. They do that whole marching orders thing.
Yee.
Yeah, I like that.
All right.
And also probably Heatmore once again.
Yep. Well, it would be good for them to have a degree of crossover type.
Yeah. Well, like I said, nothing is exclusive to any one area. You do want overlap. Because otherwise Bandana Bay gets all the water types, and that's not fair.
All of them.
You said you didn't want to be fucking Hoenn. This is what you get.
All right, then. So, yeah, like, and this is just me wanting to talk to Fox a little bit about Pixelmon's towns, and then I realized, hey, why don't we just sit down in front of a microphone and do it? And now I have to edit this.
Yeah, you're right, though. It's a really fun thought exercise. Like I said, I'm never going to play competitive, but I love the idea of thinking about what fits in these different areas and what you could do with it.
An added element here is that I like thinking in terms of what should my character be able to expect that they're good at. Even if I don't necessarily want to go and engage in PvP, I like to be able to think to myself of like, yeah, my character who's got three fighting types and three ghost types just absolutely rolled the rock type gym, and they're like, well, we're glad that guy doesn't want to show up every year. Like, it gives you more anchors to the world because it gives you a tool set to explain how the world would treat you. This is stuff that world building can do. Also, if you got this fire, hi, Tawdry. I'm just assuming it's you.
Hey, that's not fair. It could definitely be Corey.
Yeah, Corey waiting for us to say something about Torterra. Just anything. Just waiting for the chance to snap me off.
Torterra goes in khaki canopy, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, I know I'm leaning on this whole mystery valley and dinosaur element of that valley, which I do think it should go for. I do think that they should be like Tyranitar.
What about the Pokemon
around
that carries a mystery valley on its
exactly
back?
It is a mystery valley.
Hello.
And the giant Torterras in the movie Detective Pikachu are like the single best thing that movie has.
Yeah. That's some cool shit.
All right, then. Well, thank you very much for coming along and having this conversation with me. This was lovely fun.
It was. Listener, drop a note in the comments if you think Talon should actually come up with like a final team composition for each of these areas later on. He's not going to do it now because I gave him like a day to think about this.
Vote on your favorite area to get a team comp out of and send Fox pictures of Lopunny Feet.
Do not send me pictures of Lopunny Feet. Send me pictures of Gardevoir ass.